Welcome in, guys. What is going on? My name is Nicholas Wilcox here with Fox Sports 1340 AM Radio. Here to talk one-on-one, doing a little Q&A with Mr. Joe Carmen, MMA fighter. You may know a little bit about him as he was a cage fighter in the movie The Cage Fighter. And it's about a story about the rags to almost riches story of a boxer who is being basically documented about his life. Joe, say what's up to the people.
What's up? How's it going?
We're going to talk to Joe about a little bit of his story and what you guys, if you haven't seen The Cage Fighter, go ahead and go watch it. Whenever you have some time, it's a great documentary film and something that's just really real. You don't get a lot of chance to see a lot of, starting from a little film and just end up turning into something huge. But Joe, how did your career start? Like, we were talking earlier about amateur fighting and whatnot. I have two questions for you off the bat. We were just talking about them. What's the difference between amateur fighting and, what we see with the NCAAs and stuff like that? There's a big gap between those two, correct?
I feel there is. Any kind of college sport, or how about this? Most college sports, there's a team. Either you're fighting for a position, or you got the support of a coach that really he needs something out of you to because you're representing a school. But when you fight in amateur MMA, you really don't have that kind of feeling. What you are is you're just basically you're kind of a number. I mean, you're one in a million guys that could be doing the same thing. But, it's what makes you stand out, what puts you different is how many people want to come watch you. And so any kind of injuries you sustain or anything like that, that's your dollar. I mean, you get stitches, guess who's paying for that? You get knocked out and you can't go to work the next day because of concussion, and guess who's going to suffer the paycheck? You are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big difference because we see with these team sports with the NCAA and the minor leagues and baseball and stuff, it's not exactly what they can really draw because they already have the brand.
It's already there.
It's just pretty much what you can bring, to the table, which is interesting. Tell me, how did all this start for you? It's just like fighting and how this all turned into you going into the MMA ring, and how did this all start?
Okay, so it started back after high school. Didn't have I loved wrestling. I loved the one-on-one kind of gladiator feel of just fighting. Kind of got in some fights when I was younger. And again, like I was telling you before, you get in fights when you're younger, you win the fight, you go to jail. So as you got, I had opportunities to fight. I was actually working construction when I first got into it. And this guy came up to me and says, "Hey, you're a pretty big guy. Do you want to fight this weekend?" And I was thinking parking lot or something like that is what he meant. And he said, "No, there's a place called Axe Fighting over here in Washington. And it's up in Everett. Do you want to fight at the community college?" So I was like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And so I took a 3-day notice and never fought before other than getting fights in street fights, and ended up kind of getting hooked. And I got my ass beat by a smaller guy. He had 40 pounds less on me, and he beat me up. And then I went and talked to his coach after he beat me up, and it was hooked. At that point there, I just kind of, I loved the sport, and I loved competing, and loved training, everything about it. Years go past, I get married, I have kids, I joined the military, came back out of the military, and my wife got really sick. And I like to fix things. I like to make things better. I think that's how most men are. They want to try to be the fixer. And I couldn't fix the problem. I couldn't fix her. I couldn't fix my kids. We were going through a custody battle at the time. My ex were going to try to take them out of the state. So I kind of dove back into what I love the most is training for fighting. Right before that, I fell off a ladder. I fell 22 feet. I broke my arm in 3 spots and broke my left leg.
Wow.
And then, I just shattered my arm and shattered my leg. And this is right when I started to get back into fighting again. So what I needed something to kind of really get me focused back into fighting. And so I took a fight with the cast on and everything, and with my old coach. Pardon me?
What?
Yeah, so I knew I was going to get the stuff off 6 weeks later. And so I had got the cast off. I had plenty of time to start training. That I felt I had plenty of time to start training. And I met this guy over at a yoga studio because I was starting to get back into training. I needed something to kind of help out with flexibility. And he asked how old I was, and he saw that I just got these cast off, and he's like, why are you fighting? I go, I need it. He's like, what does that mean, you need it? Like, and after that, the director says, let's just keep filming. I go, well, what are we going to try to do? He's like, let's just film and see where it goes. Because he wanted an outlet to film because he was going through some stuff and I was going through some stuff. And he's like, I want to film and you want to fight. Let's just do this. And that's how it all started.
Interesting. So you knew, you kind of knew about this director before you guys started like doing all this, or just like it was just
not
like,
really.
Hey.
He just he was at the yoga studio, and we were just kind of just talking about fighting and talking about just miscellaneous stuff. And he was just hey, is it cool if I film you training for this fight? I go, you know, there's a lot of other guys here a lot more interesting than me. You know, I'm an old guy. I mean, there's a younger guy here. And he's like, no, but there's something about you that I just find interesting. I was like, oh, whatever. So he started following me around, and he got into it. And then he like mic'd up me and mic'd up my family. And just I gave him a key to my house. I gave him a key to the gym. And the first couple cuts of the film, it had a very documentary feel to it. It had like, we sat down, did the interviews and did the confessionals and stuff like that. And he goes, right. What do you think? And I go, this is like anything else I've ever seen. I mean, it's all exactly the same. And he goes, do you want to try to do something different? I go, let's try to do no filters. Like, I want everybody to see everything. I don't want anything to be hidden. So that way, if you like me or if you don't like me, that's your decision to make. I'm not hiding nothing. You can see all sides of me, and you make your call whether or not you like me or not.
Wow. Okay. So that's how. It's
sorry. That's a lot of info, huh?
Oh no, definitely lots of info is good. Lots of info is good. So what was like your as far as like your side of the story when it comes to like, you know, this film being like, you know, a massive success.
Well, it's kind of tricky. We sat down together and we discussed, hey, what's the plan for this? And at first it was just supposed to be just for the families, you know, families kind of sit down, his family, my family sit down. We watched this like basically big home movie for 4 years that we filmed and said, listen, this is your life for 4 years. And wasn't planning on being a film, was just planning on being just like kind of like a recreational kind of thing, if that makes sense. Nothing fancy, nothing big deal, just kind of something to kind of fill the time. And then just started getting popular and gaining more momentum, and it just got to a point when I didn't know it was going to be how it was now. And then we had seen, or the family and myself had saw a copy, the original version of the film. Because he says before anything gets released in the theaters or gets bought or whatever, you know, whatever it planned on happening with it, that we would all sit down and go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was just saying, okay.
Oh. Yeah, so and discuss what would be released. Because some things I wanted it to be true, but some things are just private. You know, I don't know. I mean, yes, you want things to be expressed, but you want some things to be just about you and your family. So time went on, and we saw that version. We said, hey, let's do some fixes and cuts here and try to get this thing changed so it's a little more comfortable for everybody to watch. And when I first saw the first film that got released in the theater, it was a completely different version from what we all agreed upon. And that was that.
Interesting.
I wish it would have been a little more. Go ahead.
So the version you wanted was more of a, you know, you wanted some things, yes, released for the film, but you obviously wanted some things that were private. But instead, the director kind of came in and was like, kind of just kind of put what he kind of wanted to put out there. It didn't really take in consideration what you wanted.
Correct. And so, like, and there's pros and cons of that. One was like, you know, we kind of wanted to work together to try to create something that was different. And I totally understand that. And that's a great concept. And the finished product is, there's some cons involved. And it's just because I wanted to kind of build family and end up breaking my family apart.
Wow, really? How did the film change, like, the relationships with your family?
So, I mean, between me and my dad, I mean, there's certain scenes in there that, like, you know, between me and my dad that were supposed to be, it's how the editing was done. It was edited in a way where everything in there was true, but on how it was edited and what time it was done, it looks like mm-hmm. it was something, but it's not, if that makes sense. Because throughout the film, I was dropping weight throughout the entire film, trying to make weight for a certain fight, but it shows me fluctuating up and down to different areas on weight, and then it shows like wins and loss records. And again, it was designed that way edited that way because it's supposed to be dramatic. I mean, drama sells, unfortunately. So,
right, that does. Drama does sell. look at reality TV nowadays.
Exactly. The more drama, the more conflict, the more popular it is.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. So, like, what about, like, your wife and your daughters and whatnot? Like how did that, like, impact them as well? Because I know in the portion of the movie, you know, that, you know, you had to go, like, hey, like, I need, like, not only do I want to fight, but I need to fight because of, you know, it's my sanity, and that
it makes you feel like something that you know. There's certain people that like lifting weights. There's certain people that like sports things like you're doing. If someone told you, hey, you can never do this anymore, and even though it's something you love and you enjoy doing, if someone has told you that's it, you gotta stop doing it. I mean, I'm not the young guy I was anymore, and now I have to train differently. I have to be more methodical. I have to use more. I have to be smarter about my training versus just like running through the wall. I have to think about ways to get around it or over it. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, it makes plenty of sense because your body changes when you get, you know, to a certain age. There are some things as far as exercises go that are more comfortable for you to do versus when you were younger because you're able to do this, that, and the third. And now because your body has slowed down a little bit, you're only able to do such and such because of that time. It's just going to, how your body is going to feel and improve. There's of course exercises in which, like, hey, you can't do that because it's going to eventually, like, strain your back out.
Exactly. How this really affected my family was, like, when it comes to, like, my kids, throughout the movie, my kids wanted to be more part of it, but it seemed like how it was edited, they did not want to be part of it, but they did not accept it at first, and they started to learn to accept it because they realized how important it was to me. And then the situation with my wife, the problem is, imagine having the worst argument ever you could have with your spouse. And then reliving that argument over and over and over again. So you can't let, like, you know, sleeping dogs lie. You can't let something kind of fade out. That fire, every time the fire starts going out, someone throws some more gasoline on it and builds it back up. And so it really affected us. And could we imagine every time we go see this movie, you're showing the worst argument you guys have ever had to thousands of people.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, I'm only 27. I don't know what it's like to be married and have kids. So I can't understand on that level, but I can understand in which of, if you do have an argument like a pair or whatever, it's like the worst argument you guys ever had, and everyone can watch it 1,000 times over. Yeah, that would be kind of bad. It's like,
yeah, I'm like, give me a, you and your dad getting. Yeah, exactly. If you and your dad got an argument, and here you go. you think right now, years later, okay, cool, the argument's done, we're not going to discuss that. And then when you watch, you're like, oh, crap, there's that. And you still start feeling those same feelings that you start feeling over and over again. And then you start doubting, hey, should we even be together? Because look at that. We got in this huge argument that all these people see. And so you start doubting, hey, listen, maybe we shouldn't be together because our relationship shows us in such turmoil for this 90 minutes of film. Maybe we are in turmoil. So you start to believe what you're seeing. It feels weird to watch like your life on in a film, because the film was done and I didn't see it till 2 years later.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So.
But the only thing that I would probably say positively is that, you know, yes, that did spill all over your film, you know, all over the world and everything. People watch it like thousands of times over. However, you know, when time is the best healer. And when,
I agree.
It's like they made mistakes back in the day. Like, you're not going to look at those mistakes and be like, oh, all right, I made those mistakes as a young kid. All right, whatever. Hey, we had that argument 2 years ago. Yes, it was probably the worst, but hey, look at where we are today. We're still together. We still have happy kids, still have a happy life. Like, I still love you. So, you know, yes, that happened, but for the tough couples out here nowadays, because we live in a generation of kids in which, like, everyone wants to give up and, you know, get divorced and all that, like, at least if you guys get through that type of argument, it means you guys truly do love each other. You guys are still together, so.
Agreed. And the biggest thing is, like, social media. Right now, social media, like, just, like, you look at something and they see something and then they depict it. And, like the reviews of the film, like, you know, we're reading people reviewing us like we're actors.
Right.
And saying, oh, my God, his performance was horrible, or these two do not seem like they belong together at all. Am I going, you guys know that we're real people, right? So this is not something
that... Right. Oh, man. No. Like, yeah, you guys know it's not a movie, you know? It's actually me, like...
So when you read a review and someone's, you know, calling you, like, saying, listen, he's like the worst dad in the film, and he's so selfish, you're like... And my kids read that, and they're like, we don't feel that way. I go, yeah, but it feels weird to read someone watching me and saying that about me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it takes a – because, you know, I mean, when people watch, like, you know, I guess that's the reality TV show thing. When people see reality TV and stuff like that, whatever, it's like, oh, my God, they're really like that. So you could probably say – that could probably take the same effect on yourself, because this is actually you and this is actually your family and this is actually – everything. It's not fake names. It's not a fake, you know, setting. It's nothing. It's all authentic. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I could definitely see on how you would feel, because it feels like personal. People are just taking a knife and just jabbing you with it. Like, literally.
Strangers.
Yeah. So I completely understand that. My next question would be for you is that, you know, has those relationships have they changed for the better now? Since, like, I know when the movie came out, it was probably initially, oh, my gosh, you know, things were flying everywhere and stuff. But have things changed, like, now? Or are they still in turmoil?
They're still in turmoil. But, I mean, everything is trying to be fixed and everything's trying to be repaired. But some scars and some wounds are so deep. And it just feels like right now it's just like a constant fight outside the cage. So, I mean, I'm training inside and outside. And outside I'm trying to train just to kind of get myself back to like a better way of thinking. So I'm not so negative, because I saw so many negative things that I started to believe negativity. So now I'm trying to keep a more positive attitude and positive feeling about things. And I mean, I'm hoping things go back to normal. I really don't know though. I mean, no one can really tell what the future is going to be like, but you can always just do the best you can do and hope, you know, and just keep working at it. That's about it.
Absolutely. Just keep chopping.
I was hoping this movie would have, like, built more of a bond between me and my dad and maybe showed my wife a better idea of, like, why I do what I do versus making it look like, I don't know. I mean, I love fighting. I mean, I'm not gonna say I don't. I do. I love it. You know, I love my family, but, I mean, it's just something that's a passion for. I mean, you get in there and you step in that cage and those lights, I mean, that fight could last 3 seconds. It could last, like, you know, 12 minutes. But whatever it is, that's you. There's no team. There's no one to say, hey, help me out here. Throw me a pass. You know, whatever it is, it's just you and that other guy across the cage, and it means it's a amazing feeling. Win or lose, doesn't matter, just being in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, my question would be, how is it, like, mentally, you take it, like, the scenery, like, you know, like, in one of your fights, like, you know, you just take it all in, like you said, for what it is. How is it, like, during the moment, you know, versus you seeing it, like, kind of, like, after? How is it, like, in the moment in which, like, you're in that ring, you're fighting whoever, so-and-so, and you're testing your own grit and your determination, and how is it at that moment versus when you kind of see it after, or if you see it on film, or you're just watching film and yourself?
That's funny you're saying that, because, like, I mean, I've watched so many films of myself after a fight and say, okay, listen, I could have fixed this, I should have done that. But you never, ever pay attention to what happens. You don't pay attention to how you're affecting people or your family or basically anyone emotionally, you know, outside the cage. Inside the cage, you got that guy across the cage from you, and you both step in there, and you know right now you're going to cause him some damage, and he's going to cause you some damage. That's the purpose of it. It's a fight game. That's the whole reason why you're there. But you have no idea the kind of damage you're causing to your kids, to your wife, to your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, close friends. I mean, even like the people that you're beating, their families that you're causing emotional stress to. You don't, that's not even a concept in your head when you're going there and training for a fight. I mean, like, you when I step into a fight, you know, you get the nerves, you get the nausea, you get the excitement, you get the adrenaline bump, you know, I mean, just everything's just like up and down the whole time. And when I watched that film and I saw that, I felt the same thing as I was watching it until I saw the reaction of my kids, of them seeing me fight and, you know, seeing me take those hits. Because when I'm in there, it's like a couple seconds, like, oh, you took some heavy hits and it's over and done with. But you don't realize the damage for hours that it caused my kids from watching that. And I was kind of worried about that when they kept asking. They go, we just want to see it. We want to see it. I go, sometimes it's not best to watch it. But now it's different. You know, they're older now, and they were really young when that happened. Mm-hmm. And I mean, hindsight's 20/20. Maybe I should not have let them, but you know, I'm always been very straightforward with my kids. I want them to experience things and experience life and realize that, you know, we make mistakes. That's how we learn. I mean, it's better to live with a mistake versus regret, because sometimes regret, you can never go back and change. Most mistakes you can.
Wow, that's honest. I think a lot of parents want to just continually shield their kids away from the reality, but in all actuality, I mean, we live in such a live world nowadays. You know, you would be hindering your child now. It's like I heard the other day about a parent, they're trying to hold them to not be on the internet so much. It's like, dude, we use the internet every single hour of the day. You can't always limit them, you know, to do that. I mean, it's nice to do that on the weekend, stuff like that. Hey, let's have a family outing a couple times, stuff like that. Cool, but you can't, like, always just, like, it's not like a video game system where you just turn it off. It's like, nah, it's everywhere now.
That's the thing that I try to teach them. I want people, I mean, just like you're saying, internet or radio, whatever it was, because, like, for me growing up, it was the big thing was don't listen to those songs. Those are going to corrupt you. And so, but now it's like a different generation where now it's like, don't get on the internet because you're going to see things that are going to corrupt you. Everything's always there. It doesn't matter if it's fighting or if it's, you know, pornography, whatever it is, it's always going to be there. The problem is trying to teach your kids, listen, there's a way to learn to accept it. And I mean, learn to accept it in a positive way versus a negative way. Does it make sense?
Makes plenty of sense. Makes so much sense. A couple more questions for you, Joe.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Who would you compare yourself to, like, currently right now, or, like, someone that kind of, like, you, like, yeah, I wouldn't say you model your game after, but someone that you, a fighter or two you pay attention to on a regular basis?
So the fighters now?
Fighters in
the past, the one fighter that, I mean, I've always just been my idol is Randy Couture. I mean, Randy Couture was like, you know, just everything about him, just like, you know, physical wise, you know, he's a ground and pounder, which I love. He's a wrestler. He's a dirty boxer, which again, that's what I like doing. It's just, you know, everything about him, just like, you look at him, he's like going, that's a tough ass dude. mean, there's a lot of fighters out there, but I mean, he just looks tough. And some of these guys look, I'm not trying to judge, but some of them look very pretty. And that's cool. I mean, I don't look pretty. I'm pretty beat up, you know, but I thought his style of fighting and some bound very professional. And now it's like, you know, you got these guys out there that are very, it's become more of a show versus a fight. Does that make sense?
Makes plenty of sense. I like that. And then when's your next fight?
Right now I'm scheduled to go get one come up here close to my birthday. So I'll be 43 and I'll be getting another fight in here. I'm looking to probably do like maybe a couple more fights these next couple of years. I told my kids at 45, I'm done. But you never know. I mean, like right now I'm fighting against guys that are 22, 23 years old, and I'm still going all the rounds. I mean, no one's knocking me out, knock on wood, and no one's like, you know, seriously injuring me. So until I get to the point when someone actually like beats the crap out of me where I can't compete, then yeah, I'll stop doing it. Because I mean, right now it's just something I love doing.
That is awesome. That is so awesome. And any final thoughts for anyone out there listening to you, Joe? How about some wisdom for these younger guys that you would say, because it's more of a now of a show instead of a fight. What about some wisdom out there for some of the younger cats?
Okay, a couple of things here. So first, for the younger guys, respect. Just respect what was built for you guys. So there's a lot of people who put time and effort in and to build something that now you can get opportunity to be part of. So think of it as just being, I mean, just like wrestling, you know, wrestling the same way. I mean, you have these people who built these platforms for you, and now you can stand up there and, you know, and set example to all the rest of these younger guys. But for guys my age or like, you know, or close, if you've ever thought about it, if it's something you just want to try, just do it. Train for a fight. Like, you know, like Idris Elba, the actor, like, you know, he jumped in there and did a fight. I mean, take the time, do the correct training, jump in there, hit a fight, be one and done. But don't be that guy that says, listen, I wish I could have been there and sit in the bar going, I wish I could have, should have, would have. Just do it. You're not going to get killed. You might take some lumps, you might take some bruises, but it'd be something that you can always have. You'll never be able to, that experience, you'll never have to, it'll never be taken from you. It'd be something yours forever.
Wow, that is really, really touching. Man, Joe, we appreciate your time, and you've been a great guest for us today. Joe, where's some platforms people can follow you on?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. You know, shoot me a text anytime, or like, you know, shoot me a message. I'll respond. I mean, like I said, I'm just an, I know before you said, I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy who just like, you know, loves doing what he does. I love my family. I love fighting. And I have a nonprofit gym. I'm looking here just to help people out, help them achieve goals that they've been trying to achieve. So, you know, just shoot me up and anytime you want. And I promise I'll respond.
Awesome, Joe. Well, thank you so much. And anyone that is still, feel free to follow me on Twitter at Nick_Wilcox25. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you, Joe, once again. And we look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.